What the Lord has done. Done. Hallelujah. Well, I wonder if we did have any healings. We prayed for some people last Sunday night. Really felt a wonderful spirit, and I think God's letting us feel a little bit of that tonight. And aren't we grateful that he's come and visited us? And feel blessed. Hallelujah. And Brother Michael said that Brother Smith is sick tonight. And Sister Smith? Okay. Grandma's sick and Sister Smith's taking care of her. And I believe Brother Weininger is out of town. So we miss them tonight. But I think God is here, and he's going to help us through it and through the service. And hallelujah. Praise God. Well, here we are. Praise God. Well, I love the Lord, and maybe we can go ahead and take up prayer requests. There's a spirit of prayer here right now. Yes, Sister Fisher. Okay. All right, Sister Wilkins, Sister Elsie, pray for Sister Elsie's family.
Brother Mark?
Yes.
Sister Scarlett Farmer from the Nashville Church has been complaining for headaches for a long time. I don't know what happened last night. They had to take her to the emergency room. They did an MRI on her, and they discovered a mass. They don't know. She went to a specialist today. I haven't heard any more since. I called them at the, talked to her husband at the specialist's office. And they're thinking it's probably benign, but they don't know. They're not giving them, I don't know what answers to give them just yet. So really pray for the Farmer family.
Okay. Scarlett Farmer. All right. Yeah. We have any other prayer requests, Sister Abraham? Okay. All right. Remember that. Yes, Sister Brother Golden. Okay.
Sister Dolores.
Sister Tally.
He's been sick. Mother Hutchison.
Okay.
Talked to Holly.
Yeah.
The day
his back's been
bothered. She said that her dad's really having a rough go of it.
Okay.
Ray and Susan Weaver.
Okay.
Wallace and Sister Debbie Wallace. Prayers.
All right. Let's pray for the Weavers. And let's pray for all of our visitors. We've been having a lot of visitors come in. Let's keep them in our prayers.
Brother Lee.
Brother Lee, yes. And there was, what's the elder? Brother Tony.
Yeah, Brother Tony.
He acted like he really enjoyed it. And so let's keep him in our prayers. Yes. Okay. Okay. They're on their way home. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray for them on their trip. All right. Sister Wingnett, Brother Matt. Okay. Pray for the Brother Matt and his house and the two girls. They've been running a fever. Let's pray for them. Brother Keith. Okay. Let's pray for that. Yes. All right. Sister Sherry. I'm sorry. Yeah, let's pray for our adoption. We've got plans on bringing Sarah back with us when we come back from the Dominican Republic, and there's a lot going on that's got to work out for us, including plane ticket to get her back. So pray for that situation. Yes, brother, it's unspoken.
Brother Wayne McGowan.
Brother McGowan.
Yes.
Pray for his back. Rice. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Okay. Pray for Brother Doug. What about Sister Susie? How's she doing? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, got a lot to pray about. Let's, yes, Sister Angie. Okay. All right. Let's have our ushers come up and take up the missionary offering and pray for these needs. Let's all stand and take these needs before the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your touch, oh God, your visitation. Precious Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to meet these needs, Lord. Oh God. Precious Lord.
But I forgot my glasses, so I mean, I got brought up to the pulpit, I mean, so I can't read it anyway. But it feels good in here tonight. The Lord touched us, reached out to Him, He touched our hearts, and feel His Spirit. I want to feel more of Him every day, be able to experience God, not just talk about God or what God's doing or what He's going to do or what He said He did, but to experience Him in my life every day. And that's our mission, you know, that we would have the mission to receive the promise that He gave us. He said, out of our belly shall flow living rivers of water. And He said, I came that you have life, not only that life, but life more abundantly. You know, experience living, real living. But He didn't promise the path would be easy at all. We don't know the things that we must go through. If you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where it talks of the faithful ones of faith, they didn't have a bed of roses. Said some of them were torn asunder, persecuted, killed. Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Just because we serve God, just because we're faithful to Him and to His people, doesn't mean that everything's going to go smooth. Because He's got, but Peter said our joy would be full. So you can go through the things that the Lord takes you through, and your joy, and you can have joy as you go through them. Because you're said, Lord, I'm here. I'm abandoned to You. I'm Your workmanship, and my life is to fulfill Your purpose here on this earth. And I'll reap joy. And my reward is eternal life. You know, it's hard. It's hard for me to grasp the concept sometimes. You know, you can look at the examples in the Bible. You can look at the examples here. You kind of get glimpses of it. You know, when you read about a man, Horatio Spafford, who wrote It Is Well With My Soul, and find out all that he lost his entire, he didn't lose them all. Yes, he did. Lost his family, didn't he, Brother Durham?
Yeah.
And he lost his business, lost everything he had, and still was able to write It Is Well With My Soul. It is well with my soul. When sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. Because he was a close, brother with Spurgeon, I believe. And that's why he was going to, England, was to go with him on an evangelistic, meet him on an evangelistic tour out there over there. And so to be sold out and abandoned to him, that's what our purpose is. Our life completely in God's hands. Now that's something that Adam don't want to face, because Adam thinks he's in control. That's one thing that we all have in common in this building tonight. Even though we're all different, and a couple of us can go live in, I can move in with you, or you all can move in with us, and we'd probably be scratching and clawing at each other sooner than a few days. Except if I went and live with Sister Elsie, me and her would get along good. And we're all different. We got our different, ideas about things and how things should be done, what time we should eat, what time we should sleep, what time to get up in the morning. If some of us wake up in happy moods, some of us like to go to bed early, some of us like to stay up late. But we all have one thing in common. Our father in the flesh is Adam. What somebody said, the heart wants what it wants. This old Adamic nature, black heart, wants what it wants. Wants to do what he wants to do. My son was telling me, he said, seems like kids at school, they just, what was the word he used? It's all about them. I said, yes, you're going to find out about life, son. That's the whole world's like that. It's all about me. What's in it for me? Well, you can go down that path in life, and you'll find out all that the world has to offer is temporal pleasure and long-lasting heartache. You can find a little pleasure without God in the world. Pleasure, but it doesn't bring everlasting joy. There's a difference between pleasure and joy, gratification. You can feel good for the moment, but do you have joy? When you look back at the end of the day, do you feel good about yourself? What I mean by that is, you know, the Lord puts things in us. He wants us to have integrity. He wants us to be honest and true. But did you know there's people out here that are good old boys? They wouldn't lie. They wouldn't cheat on their taxes. They tell, when you do business with them, what they tell is the way it is. I've worked with people like that. They're hard to reach for the Lord because they see church people that ain't honest. They're missing one key ingredient, though. See, they learned, they borrowed from God's principles that if you stand for what's right, you'll reap a reward. But God didn't just want us to do what's right. That's part of His calling. He wants us to. He knows we can't experience fulfillment without that, but the true fulfillment is to be abandoned to Him. To be molded and shaped in His will, to His will. When the call is called to you, that you pick up the phone, He says, "Rochella, I need you to do this right now." And you say, "Okay, Lord, let's do it." But Michael, I need you to do this right now. But Lord, I am busy right now. I got things in my life. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. I'm not going to pick on Rochelle because she don't do that. She obeys the Lord. But he calls us and he says, "Are you ready to act?" Okay. Sometimes he don't call you and ask you anything. Sometimes he says, "Okay, I'm going to put him through boot camp." Time to go through boot camp. And I was watching just happened to flip it over there for just a few minutes, and watching these guys train to be in the Green Berets documentary channel. That's what they were doing. They were training. And what they go through to be a Green Beret is not easy. Matter of fact, most of those guys give all they can give and they don't make it. And their officers and their sergeants pat them on the back, said, "You did the best you could, but you know, we got it. It wasn't good enough. And you're good enough for regular Army, but we'll carry on without you. And thank you for giving all you had." Don't look down on them. Don't scowl them. Don't say they weren't. They weren't worthy enough. You know, that didn't say that they weren't. They didn't try hard, or they were less of a person for not making it. They just wanted to see who's got the fortitude, the physical capabilities, and mental capabilities of doing this, because this is a special job. This is a special unit. They got to do things that nobody else can do. When God calls us, though, He don't call us as a tryout. I mean, although they say many are called and few are chosen, but He knows we can do it. He knows that He can do it through us. Are you willing to stay in the fire? Are you willing to stay in training? You can fall out. But this is it. His army is a special forces. All we got to do is endure to the end. And He'll use us for His purpose. He says, I'm molding you. I'm shaping you. But Lord, why is it? Or sometimes it isn't even a molding and shaping. Sometimes He'll put you through something as an example to somebody else. Sometimes He don't show us what His purpose is. That's what prayer and fasting is for. See, there's a few scriptures in the Bible, but very few that the will of the Lord was bent. The Lord was going to do something, And Moses did it. And I believe Hezekiah did it. Lord, I'm going to... God had said, I'm going to do this. Get back, get out of the way. And he said, no, don't do that. Don't do that, Lord. He said, okay, well, you petitioned me, and I will yield to you. But the rest of the time is... the prophets did not seek God to bend his, to change his mind. Even David's little baby, David prayed, he fasted, put on sackcloth and ashes, and the baby died. The prophet told him he was going to die. And so the prophets of God didn't go around and say, oh God, please do this and please do that, and we'll do all this for you. Now, there was times that the prophets came with the word of the Lord and said, if you will do this, God will pull his wrath from you. Somebody give me an example of that in the Bible. It won't come to my mind, but I know he told Jonah to preach. And told them if they didn't repent, he was going to destroy Nineveh. And they repented. And God didn't destroy it. Because they repented. The Lord told Abraham, I'll save Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous in the city. Couldn't even find 10. But he said, I'm going to destroy it if I don't find 10. He already knew that there wasn't. I pray different than I used to pray. I used to pray all the time. Somebody was sick. Somebody was in trouble. God, heal them. God, take this away from them, this trouble that's held them. I don't pray that way anymore. I say, God, my sister... my brother, it's my brother, Lord. It's my sister. If at all possible, if it is your will to heal them, I'm asking you, I'm petitioning you to do so. I want them healed. But your will, if your will is different, reveal us your will, Lord, that we may know while we're going through this. Because if you tell me you're going to heal, I'll believe you're going to heal them. If you tell them you're going to, you're taking them through this for a trial, for a purpose, for a reason. And sometimes the Lord don't give you an answer. So you just keep trusting, like the three Hebrew children that said, I don't know. I'm going to paraphrase it. We don't know if God's going to deliver us or not. But we know he can. And we know we've got to do what we got to obey his word. And we're going to obey his word whether he delivers us or not. To hold steady. To believe. Okay, Lord. So that's how I pray. Pray, Lord, if you heal them, I believe you for healing. If you've got another purpose, reveal your purpose so we know that you may be glorified in this earth, in this time. Whether it's for me or whether it's for you. Because I want to be used according to his purpose. That's what I'm called in, according to his purpose. That's why Paul said it would work for our good. Because it's for his purpose. Are we willing vessels here tonight? Are we willing vessels? Are you willing to yield your life completely to him? I love the feeling that I have when the Holy Ghost moves. Isn't it good here Sunday night and even tonight? But Sunday night was deep. Sunday night was deep. You could just feel it radiating through the building. From person to person, the Holy Ghost was just all over us. I love that experience. I love that experience in him. That it's a confirmation. Lord, okay, I know you're with me. I know you're my, I'm your child. And I know that you can refresh me, this filling station, this oasis in the desert. I just want us to, I just want that, you know, that's all you can do is when you get up here is just tell what the Lord's dealing with you about. Give your heart. So those are some of the things that the Lord's dealing with me about. Sometimes I don't feel like during the week I have time to turn around. I've got so many things going. It seems like the older you get, the faster time slips from you. And how old would that be? It seemed like when I was young, man, I was just, we had all kinds of time, do all kinds of stuff. Now I don't have the time nor the energy. But there's been times Lord, y'all pray for me to hit. I feel like running through a troop and jumping over a wall. Maybe if I laid off the hot dogs. Praise God. It's good to be here tonight. Just let the Lord use you.
Brother Michael Smith was talking about, you know, holding on and keep on keeping on, as we say sometimes, me and Ann was talking one time, and you know, I think I mentioned something was bothering me or something, you know, and she mentioned that scripture. I think it says bearing and forbearing, you know, one another, and you know what that means is, you know, when someone's on your case, you just bear with them, and then you don't react. That's forbearing, forbearing what you want to say, what you want to get back at him at. But that's, you know, that's how you grow up. You know, you know, if you can do that a couple of times, and hey, that really works, doesn't it? You know, and then you realize that sometimes, if I do that to y'all, if I get on your case for whatever reason, just remember the source. Poor Brother Paul, you know, he just, that's just where he's at right now, and we just have to pray for him, and Lord's will. Oh, the Lord's will, but ain't God good? Oh, yeah. And I really believe that serving God is worth it all. And I see so many people out here that, you know, after you've been around some people sometime, it's just like there's like they're wandering. There's no, and they may be good at what they're doing. They may be good businessmen, as someone mentioned here tonight. And they may be, but their spiritual life, they just, you know, they go here and go there, and they're, well, it's, they're searching for something, aren't they? As we were when we came here. So God extended our mercy to us, and just, you know, thank God for that. You know, I didn't deserve it. I really appreciate what God did. You know, what how he, my Lord. Yeah, you know, I can, it's kind of like I had some friends. I was, I graduated high school in 73, and that's when they had the draft for Vietnam War. You know, back in, that we called it the lottery, and that's the only one you didn't want to win. Well, my number was number 4. So I was, you know, I was bound to go. Well, they called it off. They called off the war that year, so I missed that war. Well, I had a couple of friends that I was in high school, you know, they were involved in sports, played football, I've got, my knees won't let me do too much of football or any kind of sports. And plus, I was just small. Just 155 pounds in high school, so and short. But anyway, but they went into the military, and I had thoughts of going to the military. You know, you see the old World War II movies, and oh man, you know, and Sergeant York, you know. I think that was World War I, I think. Made that turkey call, and they'd pop up, and he'd shoot them, you know. oh, boy. And then, they got these documentaries that something, Battleship 360 or something like that. You know, you can see all the things where they, how all that played out in war and all that's pretty interesting. Well, anyway, they went into the military, and with 8 months left, they went AWOL. And how do I know? Because they come over to my house. and your friends would always tell you the truth, you know. Oh, we're on leave, you know. Well, they did leave after about a couple of weeks. All of a sudden, here comes somebody knocking on my door. Some MPs. Hey, we heard so-and-so been here. I said, yeah, they're here, but they ain't been here. They gone, you know. Well, and the reason they did is because just coming out of Vietnam War, a lot of apathy, you know. Basically, we lost, you know, in a sense. We gave up, or I don't know how you term that. And after that, you know, people were just, attitudes were down pretty low, and there wasn't much going on. It seemed like from what they were telling me, no one cared if you was in the military or not, you know. And so they ended up getting a general discharge under honorable conditions. But you know, it just seemed to me, man, y'all just got 8 months, you know, y'all just go ahead and tough it out. But I thought, you know, and I thought those men better men than me. You know, here they are, they were outgoing, athletic, and all that kind of thing, and I wasn't. I was backwards, and anyway, we won't go there. And so, but, you know, it's like the the Bible says, it's not always the strong or the mighty, is it? But it, to whom God shows mercy. And I thank God that, and then, you know, that God can take nothing and make something out of it, if He will. And, you know, and so I'm glad that we can hold on to God, and God can mold us. He can bend us. He can shape us.
Brother York, there's no song, bend me, shape me any way you want. You remember that?
Well, God can do that. And if we're willing to let us, and I want to allow God to fulfill His will in my life, and I know you do too. And sometimes just a little bit of encouragement goes a long way, doesn't it? I remember when we were in the old building over there, and just to show you how God can use somebody, just simple words sometimes. It was Sister Kinsinger, and it seemed like I was struggling with some ideals, some thoughts. What does this mean? And Sister Kinsinger got up and just said something, and just the way she said it, you know, I had a revelation, epiphany, yeah. And I thought, well, you know, it was like it was right there in front of you all the time. It just, you ever, where's my glasses at? You ever did that? Where's my glasses at? Can't find them, you know. And they're right there in front of you, right there all the time. And I've done that, you know. I mean, especially when you get busy, you know, you're focused on what you're doing. You're trying to get the job done. You're under pressure. You got to get her done, as they say. And you know, where's my glasses at, you know? I did it with my sunglasses, too. I'm driving down the road, and they're on top of my head like that, and I'm trying to dig, where'd they fall off at, you know, down in my van, you know? And right on top of my head all the time. Well, and sometimes that's how close it is, isn't it? When you think that, and that's the way God works sometimes. It's just right there. It's just a matter of just relaxing a little bit. God, what is your will, Lord? What is your will? Touch me, Lord, tonight. Help me, God. I need your help. I need your help, Lord. I need that. And God has never failed. He has never failed. Always come through. And I've had frustrations and disappointments when it didn't come when I wanted it to. Oh, we all go through that, don't we? You know, Lord, give me patience and hurry up. You know, I got to have patience, Lord, right now. Well, in time. But as we all say, our hindsight's 20/20. And as I look back, I am truly blessed of the Lord. God has, I've got nothing but praise for our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm thankful to be here.
Started what Brother Paul said about give me patience. I just was reminiscing about, you know, different things that's been going on in my life. And I know I owe God many things, not just because if he did something, but just every day, just for letting me wake up every morning, first of all. But when he was talking about about the patience, and I realized that we all have to go to trials, and this trial that I just graduated from, 8 months, it was an 8-month trial, and, you know, I was thinking, oh, wow, you know, I always want to thank you, Lord, for, you know, take me through this trial, for helping me to trust you. I mean, I've been trusting God, and you think, okay, everything's okay. But then here comes another one. But it made me think of that song Sister Lynette used to sing about the fire. What is through the, you know, like, in other words, it's, you know, another one's going to come again. And I can't remember all the words, but y'all know which song that is. So it just made me realize that that's when I'm closer. I really am. I get closer to God when I'm going through trials. So not that I'm, you know, longing for them so I can get closer to him, but this last trial that I was going through, what got me through is a lot of y'all's testimonies, because made me feel like, you know, I wasn't the only one going through things. And I remember Brother Tucker used to say, you don't have to get up and talk about woe is me and this and that, but get up and say what you're going through and how God is helping you go through them. And that's what y'all been doing this last year for me, is helping me. And that's what's, and then me playing some songs, that this one particular song, oh my goodness, it's just like, it really touched me. Two songs, actually, and of course, still Lynette sang one again, the one about, oh God, why can't I remember it? The one that y'all sang at the singing, you and Sister Joanne and Dana and Linda, and or one of those y'all three songs about just in time, I think. No, that's not it. But anyways, I'm just rambling. But the other one is Only a Miracle Can Do. I was just singing it to you last night, Brenda. I just can't even remember the words. But that song just helped me. It really helped me every day. I would play it in my car, and I would, like, you know, just soak the words in, because that was helping me. And then and I know that God was with me, and that only through him I would be able to make it, and he was going to give me that miracle that I needed, and he did. I just want to let y'all know that, you know, he did. He answered my prayers, and he was with me all along. I mean, I learned to trust him, and somebody made a comment about, not made a comment, but when I told them about what I'm going to be making, and they're like, are you going to be able to make? Because they knew how much I used to make, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is like a lot, like $1 million to me, comparing to what I was the last 8 months, you know. It was nothing. God showed me, you know, that I can't make it on my own, that I need his help and to trust him, and I was doing that. I mean, yeah, I was doing my part, but I was not worrying. I can truthfully say that I never worried about where I was going to get the money to pay the mortgage, where I was going to get money for food, and where I was going to get money for this and that, you know. And we have over $1,000 a month in bills and stuff, and I was making $150 a week. Think about it. God met our needs every month for 8 months. I don't know how, but he did it. And I would be so ungrateful if I wouldn't get up and saying, I want to, you know, let y'all know today was the day that, you know, we got our first big check. And you know, it's going to happen every month, but you know what I'm saying? I used to pray when I could barely work, and I'd be in pain every night, and, you know, couldn't sleep because I was so much in pain, and I couldn't take medicine because I couldn't drive if I took medicine, and so on it goes. And I just finally kept giving my houses away and even quit the funeral home and everything. I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust in you. I said, but you know my body. You know what I'm going through. And you know what, Lord? I didn't want to bargain with him, but I was just letting him know that if you would answer this prayer for me, you know, give me my disability, I would be able to be more free to help your people and to help wherever I'm needed. I don't care where or who. If anybody calls me, that I will be ready to just say, yes, I'll you know, do it for you or help you and not have to worry about, oh, no, I got to go to work, you know. And did you know that I only got denied one time, and I appealed it, but I just wrote them a letter. That's all. I didn't even have to hire a lawyer. Everybody that I've talked to, they go, oh, you'll get denied 3 or 4 times before you get it, and then you have to appeal, get a lawyer. I didn't get a lawyer. I got that lawyer upstairs. I mean, he's the one that got it for me. And then Stan didn't even get denied one time. He got it. I mean, the first time. And, you know, I just saw God working so quickly. Well, after that, it's like, I got, you know, and I'm not, you know, complaining or bragging or anything. I'm just letting y'all know that because I feel like God listened to me, because now I'm able. I've answered several calls from different people that asked me to help on different areas and things. And I can see that. And it makes me happy. It makes me happy to do it. And Sister Tucker used to say, if you want something done, ask a busy person. And believe me, I've been busy. I don't even have a job, but I'm busy every day. And I love it. And I love doing things. And so I know that God did this all for me. And I don't want to take the credit. I want to brag on him. And also, I apologize for not testifying sooner, but there's another thing that he dealt with me, and I know Brother Daniels knows about this, because when I get up, I don't, you know, have the gift like a lot of you people have to say words, and so I'd been criticized on